Wisdom. Wisdom's a very interesting word. Because wisdom comes from all kinds of combinatory faculty of the human mind, which uses knowledge, experience, comprehension, common sense. That's something we could get a little bit back into our society, a little common sense, insight, intuition, the senses, perception, compassion, and understanding of signs and the oracles and the mysteries and the miracles to discern what is truth about something or a situation. For the wise, knowledge is not limited to facts and figures, but can comprise all mysteries of the universe and beyond. A wise person assesses the universal understanding and beyond. A wise person assesses a situation or a person or intuition of a person and sees or understands things that others might miss. Wise people are good decision makers and accurate readers of people and personalities. They recognize patterns and they make choices based on what many others might have dismissed or was just missing in accuracy or proof or tangible evidence. Wise people prove that knowledge goes far beyond what a simple eye or communication can reveal. In fact, wisdom argues that sights and words are easily deceptive. You hear people say that all the time. Well, I won't believe it until I see it. They can be deceptive. True knowledge lies somewhere on the in-between. So those who rely on facts prefer to see only in the bright light of the day, while the wise see best in all things, even all things past. They look at the gray, the haze of humanness to reveal what lies beyond or beneath the surface. Back a couple hundred thousand, a couple thousand years when Jesus walked this earth, or even before in biblical times, and still in the time when Jesus was born, every court known to the world employed a magi. Now that word magi is better translated wise. We talk about the wise men. Well, there was more than three of them around because every court in the known world employed a magi. They were advisors to the king, for they could see and foretell when things king, you need to be warned about this and that. This is what's going on. And they could also interpret dreams. They could give sound economic advice, agricultural advice, based on the movement of the stars and the skies and the planetary positions of the planets. It's amazing what they knew and what they could do long before we had satellites. And we know all the stuff they were talking about turned out to be true. It's amazing. They could predict calamities, too, and see through enemy posses, people that would travel with the enemy to make things hard for the king and the community. They could detect, too, the best solutions to the problems and discern the right path to take. They were sound in judgment. They were mathematicians, Phil. Phil knows about math. He's a study of many things. And math is one of them. They were philosophers. They were theologians. They were cultural gurus. They were intellects, and they were also prophets. They were astronomers and astrologers. They were psychologists. They were spiritualists. They not only understood their culture and the region, but they studied other cultures and other religions of their neighbors, and then even their enemies. They read very widely from available libraries of the day, and they were scholars on their day. They held one of the most prominent and vital positions in the kingdom or the government of modern day. Their word was as good as gold. They could be trusted. Now, we can't be sure who the Magi were who came to see the baby Jesus. And we aren't sure from which country they even hailed from, or even the prophetic manuscripts that they knew about the coming of the Jewish Messiah. But we do know that they knew. Most believe they were following the predictions of one of their own ancient magis. You know the story about Daniel. Daniel was appointed Magnus Extraordinary to the king Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian captivity. And he was known as one of the wisest men ever to advise a king. And unhappy with his own advisors, king appointed this Jewish Daniel, who was able to advise wisely for many years, even interpreting his dreams and his writings. Daniel predicted the coming of the Messiah who would rule in Jerusalem, but later be cut down or crucified. Then from other texts, the Magi knew this Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and a star would lead them to the place. You can find this in Daniel chapter 9, Micah 5, and Numbers 24. They studied the manuscripts, or what we call scripture. They studied all of this. They constructed timelines, and they looked for the signs in the culture and in the modern world of their day. When time came for the Messiah to be born, they knew and made a very historic trip that Matthew in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 records for us. I think the most interesting thing is that these Magi did not fear the child. The countries they heralded from did not see this new Jewish king as a threat, for he was to unite the world in peace. The ones who feared Jesus were the ones holding power in Jerusalem. The Magi discerned their characters, and very quickly they learned to understand the jealousy that was there in their presence. And they understood the dangers and the temptations of power. I think some of our modern leaders today also ought to do a little self-analysis of what they do and understand that power is a wrong way to be able to operate a kingdom. But at this point, I want to remind all of us that the writers of the gospel could not possibly record everything about Jesus or his life. I mentioned last week, I think, that from Jesus' birth, when he went to the temple at 12 years old, there's sort of like a space there until he comes and declares himself the Messiah. They couldn't record everything. And one where in scriptures it said if they recorded everything that happened, there wouldn't be enough of libraries or manuscripts to hold it all. The volumes would be just too large. No one could possibly record everything about somebody's biography. Even when we write our own biography sometimes, we just look and we choose moments and we choose memories and acts that stand out that define us as a person, that we find interesting or useful, or that we hold these things in high esteem. The gospel writers, too, wrote this way. In their biography of Jesus, when they chose to include, what they chose to include is very important. When they chose to highlight, it's very important. Travis and I was talking about a situation the other day, and he was saying, you know, I think they forgot to understand the why. The why is so important. Enron, who went broke, most of you know, at least I know because I had some of their stocks too. But their thing, when they advertised on television, they had the E turned sideways and the little voice just said, why? Why? It's important to understand the why. Why then did they make that trip? Why did they first go to Jerusalem? Why did they bring gifts that they did? Why did they thwart Herod? All good questions to ponder about this why they did. But when we do, we realize how very wise these magi truly were. Something else becomes extremely important in the Magi's discernment of the birth of Christ: his heritage, the Jewish scrolls, including now what we call the Apocrypha, and even some missing text that has not been revealed to us in our modern day Bible, even the Essenes, when they hid the scriptures up in the caves when they were annihilated by the Romans. All these texts pointed to the Messiah, whose both parents would hail from the line of the legendary King David. The Essenes long knew the importance of this lineage and would have protected that knowledge and the family who bore it as long as they could to ensure the life of this future king. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Magi not only sought Jesus, they protected him. This is vitally important to understand about the role of the Magi in Matthew's gospel. They are responsible for keeping King Herod away from the child, enabling the family to shuffle him undercover to Egypt. And for the next few years, until the death of Herod. Now it seems that many around the Jewish territory understood what was going on in Jerusalem. They understood the political and the spiritual implications of the birth of this newborn king. Understood the monumental religious meaning behind the birth of Jesus. And sought to honor him and to protect this newborn revolutionary. And Jesus was a revolutionary. In a sense, everyone knew but Herod and the Jewish elite. And while the world was secretly contemplating and welcoming the birth of a prophetic Jewish ruler who would revolutionize and bring peace to unite a world, the elite of Judah slept in all these things and all the signs that was going on. They ignored them. They were too caught up in their own power and drama. And anything that would threaten it, they would see it not as a welcome sign to this newborn king, but it's a fodder for a kill. But by the time the Magi saw the constellations that led them to make that long journey to Jerusalem in Judea, and by the time they did their rounds with Herod, talk about intuition, by the time they had that little thing, they decided to set off in a different direction, in the direction of Bethlehem. And by the time they found the child, Jesus, he was in a house. And we have, wait a minute, preacher, we do all this manger scene stuff and all. Jesus was probably a year old when they finally found this newborn king. Along with, he was in a house, probably a house that Joseph, his earthly father, built. Along with his mother. As I said, probably a year old. We don't know for sure. They were presented, the child and his mother, with gifts. You remember what they were? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What was the gold for? The gold was for the long journey and the raising of this child. The long journey to Egypt and back and the raising of this child. Frankincense was for incense, which is also, in medical terms, an anti-inflammatory. And that other word that I can't say, antibodies. And guess what? Myrrh was for the healing wounds. And all of these were to care and protect agents to ensure the life of the child. Now, many children died young in those years, as we know from history. Childbirth was very painful for the woman, but also it was hard for the children to survive in those days. But they needed to make sure that this one was kept well and healthy. And those were valuable and practical gifts to ensure the well-being of this child Jesus. For the Magi were not only philosophers but healers, natural healers, if you would, sort of similar to our natural medicine doctors in our day and time that we have. who understood the medical properties of the herbs and the spices, the stones, and the oil. Stones, yeah. Even today, any of you that go to get a massage, most of the massage therapists will have hot stones, and I don't remember what kind of stones they are, but they'll say, okay, where are you hurting? And they'll put those stones in a certain spot of you while they're doing the massage. And everything that the Magi did was to protect Jesus, the Messiah. Finally, warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. Who warned them? It was the God of the Hebrews, their own perception of the situation, their inherited wisdom,